Hey guys, thank you for checking out some men's ministry content here from McDonough Christian Church. I want you to know that if you're not connected to a men's group here at MCC, we'd love to help you do that. There's a link in the description where you can go and get plugged into a group. All this content is best to be able to pack through and go through together with a men's group. So make sure you sign up for that if you're not in one of those. Also, to be able to help us be able to get the most out of these, down below, whatever episode that you're watching is going to be the Bible verses that we process through. And along with that, it's going to be some of the key points so that you can be able to take notes and follow along and get the most out of it. All right, let's jump into our session. All right, fellas, welcome back in. We're going to be on session two of our series called Groundwork. We're going to be walking through today the first of our spiritual disciplines. Remember, this whole idea and concept of groundwork is banking on that fact that the disciplines that we're called to live out of as Christian men are not necessarily the things that just make transformation happen. Groundwork, these spiritual disciplines in our life, they're going to be the things that we do that put us in the place to where that transformation can actually begin to happen in our life. So I'm going to say a quick prayer, and we're going to dive into our session today. Father God, I pray that you would be with us as we get ready to be able to come to your word and come to this discipline. Help it not to just be something that we learn about today, but let us learn for the sake of living it out. In your name, amen. Today, we're going to be starting with our first of these disciplines, and we're going to be talking about prayer. And I want to just go like from the very beginning and address that elephant in the room. Nobody thought that that was going to be a surprising topic when we started about covering spiritual disciplines. Nobody walked in tonight going, oh my goodness, you know, prayer. Who would have thought that that's what we're going to cover? That's kind of a given. We as Christians, we know we're supposed to pray. We know that prayer is important. You've heard sermons about prayers. You've read books maybe even about prayers. You pray before meals. You know, some of you know, you pray if you're coaching little league ball like I am, like you're praying after games, you're praying before games, you pray when somebody gets sick. Prayer is a part of our life, but the reality that most of us are suffering through and navigating through, we don't have this issue believing in prayer. Like, we believe in it. Our problem is that we oftentimes live our lives like we don't believe in it nearly as much as we say we actually do. And there's this huge difference between believing that prayer is important and then building your life around prayer, building your life as if prayer is truly a necessity for what you do every single day. Most of us would never say, I don't need God. Most of us wouldn't be bold enough or brave enough to say that. But here's what happens. We go an entire day without talking to him. We go an entire day without seriously having that conversation or even asking him for help. We make decisions without God. We parent without God. We go to work without him. We fight temptations without him. We carry around the anxiety and the stress we have on a daily basis without him. We try to fix our marriages without him. And then when everything kind of starts to fall apart, he's the first one we reach out to. That's when we actually begin to go and pray. And so I want to make something, as we get ready to talk about prayer, that's been an eye-opening reality for me. And I took me a long time to connect these dots. And so hopefully I can save you some time and so the stress that I've had to navigate through until I had this revelation. Prayerlessness in our lives, guys, prayerlessness is pridefulness. And again, you may be like, hey, well, I'm not like shaking my fist at God saying, I don't need you. But when we go and we live our lives and they're just completely devoid of prayer, what we're saying in those moments is I can do this without you. I really don't need your help. I got it. And that is a huge, huge issue. Jesus, in John chapter 15, verse 5, he said these words very, very clearly, and we just got through going through this as a church, so you should be able to have these like fresh in your mind. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So what that means for us is prayer's got to be one of those primary ways where we actually show Jesus, I believe in you, and I believe what you're saying. Prayer, for us, again, to connect this back to the groundwork thing, prayer is going to be that primary, like that first step where we put our knees down into the dirt and admit that I can't produce spiritual growth on my own. I need his help. So we're going to kind of walk through just some bullet items on this, guys. It would take us potentially, you know, 5 to 10 whole sessions if we were going to really unpack and go through every aspect and every nook and cranny of what prayer is and why it's important and the different types of prayer. So what today is hopefully going to be is a wake-up call into prayer and then just some baseline overview understandings of it so that you can begin to go figure out how can I actually put this into practice even in my own life. So what I want to do first is I want us to take a look at Jesus, and I want us to see how Jesus lived a life of prayer. One of the most compelling arguments that we can make for the need of prayer is when we actually look at Jesus' life. Jesus prayed a lot. It was ongoing. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says that while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went to a solitary place, and he prayed. Luke 5:16 says that Jesus oftentimes withdrew to lonely places to pray. We have the entire thing about Jesus' temptation where he goes, spends 40 days in the wilderness and he's praying and he's fasting. Before Peter's confession, Jesus prays. Before Jesus picks all of the disciples, he goes and he spends an entire night praying. After transfiguration, what is Jesus doing? He's praying. Before the cross, he's praying. What is he doing even upon the cross? What is Jesus doing? He is still praying. So the question becomes, like, if Jesus refused to live his earthly life disconnected from communion with the Father, what makes you think you can? Like, if the Son of God, the very Son of God, with all the power and all the potential of all of the universe at his fingertips, if he refused to live his life disconnected from ongoing communion with the Father, where do we get off thinking that we can handle this on our own down here? And notice, guys, Jesus didn't just pray when things went wrong. He didn't just pray when the disciples were getting on his nerve or there was some big issue or when he does pray when he's calling Lazarus out of the tomb, but that's not, you know, when he's doing. Prayer for him was an emergency cord that he pulled to try to get out of difficult situations. Prayer was the atmosphere that he lived in. Prayer was the breath in his lungs. And for a lot of us, we kind of treat prayer like it's a fire extinguisher. It's like break the glass in case of emergency. And that's just not what we see when we look at the life of Christ. When Jesus goes about his life and he's got these disciples beside him. And again, our point here is that, like, we're called to be disciples and make disciples. Well, Jesus' disciples, they saw a lot of things that Jesus did. And they could have asked him, like, hey, Jesus, teach us to walk on water. Hey, Jesus, teach us how to cast demons out. Hey, Jesus, teach us how to do, you know, fill in the blank. Because they saw him do some absolutely amazing things. Like, hey, Jesus, we saw you, you know, feed all those people with all those loaves and those fishes. But one of the main questions that we have from the disciples when they're coming to Jesus and asking him something is they don't say, Jesus, teach us to moonwalk across the water. They go, Jesus, teach us how to pray. In a couple different instances, in a couple different passages, Jesus teaches them to pray. One of the main ones that we get where Jesus is teaching them how to pray is obviously where he goes into the Lord's Prayer. That's one of the questions. But another place where Jesus teaches them to pray is in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about prayer, and he says, when you pray, and again, when you pray, which is like prayer is assumed, like this is what you're going to do. He says, when you pray, don't go off on these big, long, drawn out, kind of fancy pants kind of prayers. He says, don't try to be performative in what you pray. He says, go into your room, shut your door. And now this is the line that I really love and appreciate about what Jesus makes clear about what prayer is us doing. He says, and talk to your Father. Now, I don't know what dad issues you got. You probably got some like I've got. But one of the things that I think is biggest burden for us when it comes to prayer is talking not to God, not to just this big out there heavenly creation, you know, or heavenly being. I remember growing up, there was this, you know, at the church I grew up in, there was this like time where like the elders and deacons would pray. And during one of our services, and there's this one particular guy, and anytime he prayed, he always started, and me and my buddy, we always kind of like joked about it. He would always say, my most gracious, loving Heavenly Father. And like, it was just this big, elaborate intro to his prayer. And it was like, and again, that was his honor and his reverence. But one of the things that stuck out to me in that was like, is that how I have to talk to God? Like, and so for me, it's not losing that reverence, but it's also understanding there's a relationship there. And this relationship, and Jesus is, I think, leaning into this relationship is Son to Father and Father to Son. And because of that, I think we've got to understand that our prayers are foundationally a relational endeavor. It's a Son talking to a Father. And the reason that the Father loves to answer the prayers is because they are prayers coming from one of his kids. They're prayers coming from Son. Now, I got two boys, and one of the things that I noticed about them, and it reminds me of what Jesus said, you know, he says when he's teaching the apostles to pray, he says, hey, give us our daily bread. You know, one of the things about my boys, and they, you know, they have me as a present father in their life, but when I have just them, and, you know, Jessica's maybe, you know, she's got something going on, maybe the church, or she's, you know, going to grab breakfast or lunch with somebody, when they're with me,
they don't ask a question like, Dad, are we going to have lunch today? They ask questions like this, because they're my sons talking to me as their dad, as their father. They say, when's lunch? Or they say, what are we having for lunch? And I think the reason they're doing this is because they don't have this inclination that lunch is just not going to be provided. They know it's coming. And I've never caught either of them stuffing peanut butter and jellies in their pockets thinking that, oh man, I better make sure I have enough for tomorrow. No, they're sons who approach me with what they need, just knowing that, hey, I love to meet their needs. I know what they need and I'm going to meet those needs. So for us, guys, we ought to understand prayer is not primarily this way we go about using our words to impress God. Prayer is being with God, talking to Him as a Heavenly Father, and coming to Him realistically as sons, knowing that He already knows everything. Like, there's nothing we're going to tell Him we need. There's nothing we're going to tell Him we've done. There's nothing that's going to catch Him off guard. And that distinction, it really is important. It matters for us, because some of you may have this thing to go like, you know, kind of like when we talk to you about, like, read something, and you go like, oh, I'm not good at reading. Well, dude, you read your phone all day long, okay? You're good at reading. You just don't like reading certain things. Some guys will say the same thing, like, I'm just not good at praying. Well, or you talk all day long. So if you can talk, you can pray. And don't overcomplicate it. The next thing I want to talk to us about is how prayer is dependence. How prayerlessness, if that's the practice we're going to lean into, that our prayerlessness is prideful self-reliance. What prayer says is, I need more wisdom than I possess. Prayer says, I need more strength that I don't currently have. Prayer says, I need protection that I alone cannot provide. I need grace that I cannot manufacture. I need God. That's what we say. That's what we're saying when we come to God in prayer. Now, prayerlessness, or the lack of prayer in our life, it's actually communicating the exact opposite. And it may not be, again, like I said earlier, it may not be verbally, but functionally, that's what prayerlessness is saying. Every time that me and you, we refuse to pray, we're tempted to live as though my resources, like what I can muster up in and of myself, it's enough. And that's especially dangerous for those of you who are watching this, who you've actually developed into a pretty competent guy. Like, you can be competent at work. You've been parenting for a little while now, and so you've got kind of a handle on what needs to happen. You've been married long enough to be able to kind of figure out what you're doing and navigate around, like, hey, here's what I don't say to my wife. Here's what I do say to my wife. Some of you, you've been at your job. You've been there long enough to where you've kind of got it figured out. You got 3 or 4 different promotions, and you've been doing those things enough to think, I've got it. Now, when we think that we've got it, we've got things figured out, and we're capable of doing those things, here's what's really happening. You're actually just becoming someone who is capable of living a Christian-looking life without desperately needing or depending upon Christ Himself. And guys, that's dangerous, because then we're actually pretending and relying on our own self and not what Jesus would be doing in and through us. So for us, what I want you to understand is this. The goal is not to become, and is never to become, a man who can just handle life without God. The goal is to become a man who is increasingly realizing that he doesn't want to do anything apart or without God. That's actually what spiritual maturity is. Not being excellent at all the things. It's knowing that there is nothing that I want to do apart from him. Next thing I want to talk about is the reality of prayer and spiritual warfare, and how prayer is a huge part of how we fight this. Ephesians 6 is where the Apostle Paul walks through that whole armor of God. I don't have time to go through piece by piece of that. But a lot of times, one of the things we'll get talked about when it goes to God's word is that the Bible, you know, it says, like, you know, take the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And it says, well, you know, the sword of the Spirit, you know, the word of God, that's our only offensive weapon. Well, that's garbage. I think if you actually read the passage, that's totally not the thing. No, our other offensive weapon is the word of God and prayer. Prayer is, and I would dare say that, like, prayer is the primary way to which we utilize the weapon that is the word of God. So he says in Ephesians 6, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplications. Now, for most of us as guys, what we must understand is that we are in an absolute onslaught and spiritual battle. And there is war waging on all around us. There are things out for your attention. There are things out for your affection. There are things out to use you and abuse you and keep you from being who God's called you to be. But prayer is where we watch. Prayer is where we do not fall into temptation. Prayer is what holds us accountable to be able to listen to and tune into the Father God. Jesus was talking in Matthew chapter 26, 41, and he was telling his apostles, he says, watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation. And I want you to kind of see that connection there. He says, watch and pray. Because why? Because temptation is coming. It's right there on the hills. Spiritual warfare is real. And what I want you to understand is this, guys. Satan's strategy really isn't to get you to reject outright God. He just wants you to get so content with what's going on. He wants to attempt to get you to live without consciously feeling like you actually need to be in tune and dependent on God. He's not out for the outright rejection. He just wants you to kind of go float your own boat and go your own way and not depend on God because you're not tapping into the power that comes through prayer. So us, if we're going to be men of God, who experience this power to be able to resist these spiritual forces in our life, we've got to know that we cannot depend on our own strength. It's not something I can do on my own. One of my favorite verses is actually the one, if you ever see this bracelet on, it's the verse that's here on this cuff that I keep on me almost, I sleep in this thing, I hardly ever take it off. But the verse is on there, is the same verse I preached that my dad died. It's Romans 16, 20. And the verse says this, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And this is where I want you to understand where prayer comes in to being able to trample on this enemy in our life. Prayer, if Romans 16 is true, what that means is we should be men who are trampling the ways that the snake of Satan tries to slither into our homes, our workplaces, and our families. But what I want you to understand is you will never crush Satan under your feet if you don't first know where he is. What I found in my own life and what I would encourage you to understand is prayer is where us as men develop snake vision. It is only through prayer and being in tune with the Father who understands Satan's evil and his wicked ways, how he slithers his way into our family, how he slithers his way into our workplace and our minds. The only way you're able to develop snake vision, to be able to see what he's trying to do and to crush him under your feet is through prayer. Prayer is how I begin to see how he's trying to work his way into my kid's life. Prayer is how I see how he's trying to undermine my authority in the home. Prayer is how I see what he's trying to do at my workplace. Prayer is how I see how he's trying to slither his way into our church. Prayer is what gives us that ability to be able to see those things. So before temptation, we pray. During temptation, we pray. When anger starts rising up, we pray. Prayer is where the battle is taking place. And if we attempt to go out and try to fight the enemy without prayer, it's like showing up to the front lines of an actual modern warfare with a pillowcase and a squirt gun, and we're going to get absolutely wiped out. Prayer is where we get our strength. Prayer is where the power comes. So we got to lean into that and know that it's real. The next thing I want to talk to you guys about is what. So what should a man of God actually be praying about? And if you went and if you collected all of the scripture and all the transcripts that you've processed through and read through in passages of scripture, one of the things I think you would come to find out is what you see when the Bible talks about prayer and then how we as men pray, it's actually pretty different. And it's kind of alarming. So let me ask you this. Imagine if somebody was to take the transcripts of everything that you've prayed over the course of the last year. If they were able to look at everything that you prayed about over the course of the last year, what would they be able to tell really matters the most to you? Take a second and think about that. If you could take every word of every prayer that you prayed over the course of the last year and you were able to sit down there and write them out, what would they be able to tell mattered the most to you? Would it be anything of any significance? Would it be very singularly focused on one thing? What would they be able to say you value, you care about, is really important to you? See, a lot of people, when it comes to prayer, prayers can just be like really, really circumstantial. Keep us safe. Help this person feel better. Help this problem go away. Give me this opportunity or fix this situation. Open this door for me. Get these kids to behave. And hear me, guys, like none of those prayers are wrong. Jesus teaches us to pray things that are similar to that. He teaches us to pray for our daily bread. But if you go and you read the prayers of the Apostle Paul, one of the things that you'll notice is how often he prays, not for circumstantial things. Those are good, But he doesn't just pray for circumstantial things. He's praying for spiritual things. He's praying for wisdom, strength, endurance, holiness, love, knowledge of Christ, boldness, and maturity. And what I want you to understand is this, like, I'm not asking you or telling you, like, hey, stop praying for circumstantial things. Yes, please pray for circumstantial things in your life. You know, the doors to be open, the kids to be healthy, the protection for your family, the growth of your church. Please pray for the circumstantial things, but pray more for transformational things. Like, yes, we want the circumstances to work out, but more than we want the circumstances we want to work out, we want there to be transformation that happens inside of us so that regardless of what's going on in the circumstances, we're experiencing transformation because of our connection and communion with God. Now, one of the areas in regards to our prayer and what we should be praying about, there are some specific areas, and I want to kind of walk through these here with you. One of the primary areas is praying for your own soul, that it wouldn't be polluted and unpurified by the ways of this world, that you would be able to experience holiness, have wisdom, walk in humility, that you would have freedom from temptation. Specifically here on some relational stuff, we need to be praying for our wives, or if you're not married yet, your future wife. We need to pray for her burdens, for her calling. We need to pray for our marriages. If you're a man blessed enough to be able to have kids, we need to be consistently praying for our children, not merely that they make good grades and are successful, but we need to pray that they know Christ. We need to pray about how God would use us to show them Christ. We need to pray that there would be a godly character develop in them. Yeah, we need to pray for our work. And again, that's not just praying like, God, give me more business or give me more leads. We need to pray for the people that we are working alongside of. We need to pray that God would allow us to execute our responsibilities in such a way that glorifies and honors Him. These are the things that should be the things that we are in an ongoing way praying for. I want to circle back to what I was saying about our wives, our spouses. So married men in the room, please listen to this. I want to ask you a hard question. This has kind of been like one of the ways that God's convicted me as I've been studying and prepping to teach you guys on this thing. Here's a question I wrote down. When was the last time your wife heard you pray specifically for her? Like out loud, specifically pray for her. Next, and this is for you guys who are dads. When was the last time your children or your sons or daughters heard you as their dad pray specifically over them? Yeah, for a lot of men, this is an issue. This is one of those things where we feel like, man, I'm not capable or called to do that. We'd much rather coach them on something. We'd much rather teach our boys how to, you know, change oil in a car than to pray over them. And then that's an issue, guys, because yeah, it's kind of a manly thing to be able to know how to change the oil in a car. But what is more manly is showing them this is what a man does. This is how we pray. This is how we pray for each other. And so you'd be blown away, guys, by how even just 30 seconds to a minute of sincere prayer may actually change the atmosphere of your home. And I'd love to see what it would look like. And we're going to come back to that kind of as we enter into our challenges. Next thing I want to do here is I want to kind of walk us through some of the different rhythms of prayer. You could say rhythms, you could say types. I want to make sure we understand kind of some of the different areas and aspects of prayer. I'm going to kind of try to label these a few different ways. So the first thing I'll talk about is what I would call is like the set apart prayer time. And this is where we intentionally do what Jesus did. This is where we're intentionally withdrawing away from people. Again, you don't have to always be away from people to be praying, but this is where we're saying, I'm going to my, you know, you hear people talk about, I went to my quiet place. I went to my secret place. This is my like hideaway. This is where I get away from everybody else and I get away from all distractions. And I go and I spend a specific set apart time with God in prayer. Another type of prayer is intercessory prayer. That's just a fancy word for saying I pray for other people. I pray for stuff that's going on. This is where I know burdens and I know issues are going on in other places, other people's lives, and I'm praying for them. This is where I'm, again, the key word there in intercessory is interceding. It's not just for people who need me to intercede on behalf of issues that are going on in life. Sometimes it's the biggest issue. It's like they don't know Jesus. So I'm interceding on their behalf. I'm begging God to expose His grace and mercy to them so that they come to salvation. I'm interceding and saying, God, how would you use me to reveal you to them for their sake and for the salvation that would come in their life? The next way, and this has been the one that has been the most eye-opening and the most one that I've been able to like have the fruit of eating it dripping down my beard, is the spirit-fed, our scripture-fed prayers. And I, 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 said are spirit fed, but it is scripture and spirit because the same Holy Spirit. Here's why this is important. We are called to walk and live by the Spirit. And we're also called to be men of the Word. Well, the same Holy Spirit that inspired those men to remember and recall all the things they did that allowed our Holy Scripture to be written, that same Holy Spirit that inspired Scripture to be written is the same one that's inside of you. And so something happens in this unique way where, you know, for years and years of our Christian lives, we've been taught, well, you need to read the Bible and you need to pray. You need to read the Bible and pray. And once you're done reading the Bible, you need to pray. And maybe if you're one of those really goody-goody guys, you're going to read or you're going to pray and then read and then pray some more. What I've found has become one of the most fruitful endeavors in my life is when I stop making reading Scripture and praying two separate things and I let them become one. And the place where this took off for me and was just foundational in changing how I viewed my own personal times with God was actually in going through the Psalms. If you read through the Psalms, one of the things you'll find out pretty quickly is you're essentially just reading prayers. And so scripture-fed prayers is us going to God's Word and taking even God's own language, and we're reading them and offering them as prayers to God. It's if you're going to some place like the Gospels or passages of Scripture that are more narrative-based, you're reading the story, and if you're hearing the words of Jesus or you're hearing the words of the prophet, you're allowing those to be even ones that you're speaking of your life or crying out to God. So This scripture-led prayer is amazing because you're taking two of the most important and life-changing spiritual disciplines, the study of God's Word and prayer, and you are putting them in unison together. Another one of the different types of rhythms of prayer we can get into is just praying as you go. So this is one that I would say is probably like the one to be most cautious with, but there can be a whole lot of fruit with. A lot of times I feel like guys, they make an excuse for not having a set-apart time of prayer because they go, I'll just pray as I go. And it's like, well, yeah, you prayed for your food when you're at Wendy's and you prayed, you know, Lord, let this light turn green. But I would push back on that and go, is there depth there? It's great that you're connection. It's great that you're acknowledging that God is there. And I do think I would say this type of praying, that like just on-the-go prayer, is really good for when we are in environments where we're dealing and handling other people. When we are, on a date with our wife, that's a great time to have on-the-go prayer. Lord, help me to know how I need to navigate this conversation. Lord, help me know, how I need to, plan this thing out. Help me know how I need to, lean in or what not to say or what to say. If you're going into a hard conversation, these are those times when those on-the-go prayers are really some of the most important and most impactful. For me, one of the ways that I find myself doing this on-the-go thing a lot is specifically with my kids. I get them in the car riding home with me, and if I got one or sometimes even if I got both, I'll just say, whisper a quick little prayer that they can't hear, but God knows. I'll just say, God, help me to make the most of this car ride. And so then I lean into the conversation and I go from there. Show me how to love them the most. Show me what they need to hear. Reveal to me, what's going on in their life so that I can speak into it here in these moments. That's that on-the-go prayer. The next thing I want us to talk about here, and again, we're just blasting through this. I want you guys to get a good overview, and then we're going to hit a challenge at the end. I got about two more things I want to make sure we're walking through. Prayer is not just meant to be this time where we sit and we just spew all the things that are going on in our life and all the things that are happening, all the things that we have going wrong to God. Prayer is not just a time for us talking. Prayer is maybe just as much, if not more, prayer is a time for us to listen. It's time for us to be quiet. Most of us, man, we just live these lives out here and we become so accustomed to input, constant input in our life. We're listening to music, YouTube, notifications. We got text messages coming in. We're watching sports. We're on social media. There's just all this stuff that's constantly coming into our life. And we're so accustomed to now not allowing there to be any empty spaces. So if we're standing in line, we're driving, we're sitting on the toilet, there are all these little spaces in our life. We are constantly trying to fill them with new content. We've trained ourselves, for most of us, to reach for our phones in those very moments where we could have called out and reached out to God in prayer. And man, that's this thing right here, dude, it has caused many of us to miss ample opportunities to be able to connect with our Father God and to reach out and communicate with Him through prayer. And it's no wonder that it feels distant. You know, you really want to go and, you know, feel bad about yourself, go open up that screen time thing and see how much time you're actually spending looking at this, looking at stuff that's on here, and how much time you're not spending on anything that's really moving the needle in your life, in your family, or your walk with God. I like to think about this time that I miss and the reality that I will never get it back. And most of the stuff that is becoming this input in my life, it does nothing. Now, one of the things that I've recently come to realize is like, I'll get on social media and I'm probably getting really close to the end of being done with it at all, but I'll just kind of scroll through like four, you know, little finger swipes. And I'll go one, and I'll go, is there anything that changed my life right here? Nope. And I'll take another one. Anything that changed my life? Anything that, like, you know, that's really good. I need to see that. Nope. And I'll do about four. And after about four of those, you realize, like, this is all this has to offer. But you don't have that same encounter when we go to God in prayer. We don't have that same encounter in the Word. That's not how those things go. So we as men have got to learn to say, I'm going to allow there to be some quiet spaces in my life, and these are going to be the ones where I go to God. And even if it's just some of these simple moments where we pray stuff like David prayed in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, David is talking to God, and he says, search me, O God, and see if there's any grievous way in me. What he's doing there is saying, God, you know my heart. Will you please show me those things, reveal those things to me, and then being quiet enough to see what the Spirit of God begins to bring to the surface. The last thing that I want you guys to know and understand is that prayer, it's not just something that we use to change situations and outcomes, that prayer is the very means by which we are changed. Prayer is what puts us in the place where the power of God can begin to flow into our lives. So the best example that I can see on this is when we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus is there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he brings his request as honestly as he possibly can before the Father God. He says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he ends it by saying this line, not as I will, but as you will. And that's one of those, the most deep, gut-wrenching even moments of prayer that we see in all of Scripture. And we often pray kind of in the opposite vein. We often pray going, God, change this. God, change this. And listen, you know this, like sometimes He does. But sometimes while we're asking God to change situations, God begins changing us. And that's really what He's most after. God is the God of all situations. And does He want situations to change? For sure. What God is after, more than situations changing, He is after your holiness. He is after your sanctification. Really means the same thing there. You progressing into who you were created to be in Christ. That's, and we talked about this in this series. We talked about this at the last session. This sanctification is not a spectator sport. And the way we get onto the field is by hitting our knees and going to God in prayer. It's not one of the ways we're asking God to just change our circumstances. Prayer is the primary way in which God changes us. And that's really what this whole series of groundwork is about. We're practicing these disciplines to see God change and transform our lives. All right? So hopefully that's, again, big overview in prayer, big in, you know, leaning into the importance of it. What I want to do now is I want to kind of lean us into what will be our challenge. And so again, this challenge may not be what you start implementing the moment you see this video. The challenge is going to usually start and kick off after you have your group meeting over this. So once you guys sit down and you have your conversations around prayer, then that week, or for some of you, 2 weeks between when you met and talked about prayer and then when you showed back up to have conversations on whatever was next, that's when we're going to go and kind of get into the lab. We're going to go practice the discipline. We're not just going to learn some stuff. We're going to go live it out. And so what this challenge is going to look like around prayer is 15 minutes. All right. So we're going to have a 15-minute prayer challenge. We're going to break it into like kind of five categories. All right. So here's what they're going to look like. The first 15, and I want this to be every day. All right. And so you're like, man, pray 15 minutes a day. Goodness gracious. Listen, and I don't mean to be that guy here, but if the Father God can give His only begotten Son for our salvation, like, I got to be able to give Him at least 15 minutes. Like, you have no excuse. We have nothing else going on in our lives that's more important. Say, I can't give the creator of the universe, who gave his son on a bloody nail-stained cross for me, like, I can't give him 15 minutes. No, you totally can. You totally can. So here's what we're asking those 15 minutes to look like. Verse 5 is just going to simply be reading and praying. This is, and again, this can be the YouVersion Bible verse of the day. This can be a collection of some Psalms. This can be some things in Proverbs. I'm going to read a short passage of Scripture, and I'm going to find myself praying through this. That's the first 5 minutes. Second 5 minutes, this is gratitude and intercession. Gratitude and intercession, and this is how I teach my boys to pray. Prayer at its root is really two words. God, thank you. Help. Thank you. Help. So gratitude and intercession for those 5 minutes. I really do think a huge part of this is the gratitude part first. God, I thank you for my wife. You know, help her with what she's got going on today. God, I thank you for my kids. You know, keep them on the straight and narrow path. God, thank you for my job. Help me to be salt and light there. This is gratitude and intercession. The next 5 minutes, this is confession. So first 5 is reading through a passage of Scripture and praying through that. The next 5 is gratitude and intercession. And then the last 5 is confession. So the last 5 minutes of prayer, this is just being able to go, God, hey, search me. You know what's going on in my life. You saw what happened yesterday. God, help me not to make those same mistakes today. Some of this confession part is going to be going, God, hey, yesterday I did this, or today I did this, or I've been struggling with this. It's getting those things out there by God and going, God, is there anything else that you want to bring to the surface? And then that's where we quiet our soul and we listen. All right, so that's the part. I would love to see for at least, you know, every day for you to be able to practice those 15 minutes. And you need to set aside a time to do that. You schedule that in your phone. And then the other part, other component to this challenge, I'd love to see you do is at least once over the course, you probably got about 14 days, some of you, before you'll meet together again to be held accountable on this. Somewhere between the next 15 or 14 days, I want you to take some time and to pray out loud, specifically for your wife. And if you don't have a wife, I want you to call your mama, pray specifically for her. If you're engaged or you got a fiance or whatever, you know, call her, pray specifically for her out loud. And if you're a parent and you have kids, I want you to pray out loud specifically for your kids at least once within the course of this. I'm telling you, it's going to push some of you out way, way, way outside of your comfort zone. And it doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be drawn out, but it has to be from the heart. And I'd love to see how God moves and changes the atmospheres in your homes and in your marriages because of those things. You guys know this. The question isn't, do y'all believe prayer works? Y'all know that prayer works. You know that prayer is important. The question is, does your life actually say that you need God? You can go on your own. You can try to do it all on your own. But guys, most of us are getting our lunches handed to us because of the lack of prayer in our life. So prayer is going to be the simple admission that I need you. I cannot do this without you. And guys, that is not weakness. That is actually the very place and point where spiritual strengths are and where transformation begins. And I cannot wait to see what happens when we put in that groundwork and lean into prayer this week. Let our knees hit the dirt and go after what God is calling us to.